Okay, my Rebbe Rav Shach Tishrita has two Sfarim on the Rav. One's called Nefesh HaRav, and one's called Mipinine HaRav. And in the back of these Sfarim, Rav Shach Tishrita has Divrei Torah of the Rav on the Chumash. So I want to share with you a few ideas here relating to the summer partials from the back of the Sefer Mipinine HaRav. Short ideas, but I think there's each one of them, Mamish, is a beautiful, beautiful Yisod. Now, regarding Parshas Korach, we've already discussed during the shiurim on the Chumash that part of Korach's chait was questioning the leadership of Moshe. That does Am Yisrael need a special leader of Moshe? Who says Moshe should be the special leader? So the record just points out as follows. In the key pasuk where Korach makes his complaint, the pasuk writes, "Vayimuel." This is in Perek Tes Zayin, pasuk Gimel. "Vayimuel lihem, Rab lachem, ki chol hayta kulam kedoshim, ubesocham Hashem, umadu atisnasu al kal Hashem. Why have you raised yourselves over the rest of the congregation? Everyone's kedoshim." Rashi says they all heard Hashem b'Sinai. They all heard Hashem speak at Har Sinai. Oh, kol ha'ola, kol ha'ida. Kulam Kedoshim. Well, now, normally we assume that the chait, the mistake in Korach's approach, was the second half of the pasuk. When he says, Madu titnasu al kal Hashem, that's the focus of Korach's mistake. That's the focus of his chait. The Rav goes a little deeper. The Rav says, no. Even the first half of the comment is also reflects a basic mistake in Jewish Hashkafa, which itself was the root of the chait itself. It says here as follows. When Korach says, Kol ha'eda kulam kedoshim, he says, what's the pshat? Kulam shavim b'kedushatam ma'alatam madregatam. They're all equal in their levels of kedusha. And therefore, the pasuk continues, Madu atit nasu, apadzeh atzmo chait ayom v'nora. He says, to say, that everyone's the same, that itself is a chait. Shereyeh shalom de Torah v'yigeimba. There are those that have learned Torah and work very hard. V'yesh ha'mam ha'aretz, who aren't as knowledgeable in Torah. Yesh tamad chacham, ulumato, yesh gadol b'Torah. Ulamayla mehem gon me'gaonim, v'yesh nevim. Ulamayla mekulam Moshe Rabbeinu, alav shalom. Oh, and v'zeh ochad me'ani mamin, t'vashem ben alav shalom, enu kashar nevim. In other words, Ein Klal Yisrael Kulam Shavim Eliyesh Hevdelim Bein Zelazeh. It's a major Yisod. A Jew has to recognize there are levels of greatness in this world. There are levels of greatness. And Korach's complaint that Moshe shouldn't be above everyone else stems from the more basic mistake that everyone's the same. Everyone's not the same. True, everyone heard Hashem speak at Har Sinai, but it affected people in different ways. You can have a person who is a Yari Shemayim. You can have a person who is a great, great tzaddik. You have a person who is a super tzaddik. You have a person who is a Gadol Ador. There are levels. And we have to recognize this. This is the Sfarim say this is the idea. The Sfarim say this is one of the ideas in the Beis HaMikdash, that there are different levels of Kedusha. There's the Ezras Nashim, the Ezras Yisroel, and then there's where the Kohanim go, the Azara, then there's the Heichal, then there's the Kodesh Kadashim, and then in the Kodesh Kadashim, the Machmud over the Aron, the idea of levels, the idea that the world split up, not just Kodesh and Chol, but that there are levels within the world of Kedusha, is a basic Yisod and Jewish Hashkafa. And the Rav here is saying that was the root chait of Korach when he denied that basic Yisod. Once you say everyone's the same, so then, Taka, it's hard to understand why there should be Dafka, one leader. Oh, so this is the Rav on Korach, and it's a major Yisod. I just want to give an example of this idea of what happens when people don't realize that there are different levels. It's a classic example.
I think it's somewhat common, unfortunately. And it really reflects a basic mistake. You know, the shul rabbi gives a sermon, and during the sermon he mentions some topic in halacha. Oh, then people come home, and they start saying, you know, the rabbi said this, but really it's a mistake, he doesn't know, I think differently. You know, when you have people who, you know, they're not so learned, they haven't spent so many years studying the topics in halacha, and they're making comments and arguing on what the shul rabbi says. I want to discuss this point on several levels. It's a mistake. You have to recognize there are levels of people, some people more knowledgeable than others. But you know, let's think about it. Let's say there was a discussion in the newspaper, you know, what caused the space shuttle? And 20 years ago, one of the space shuttles, there was a tragedy and it blew up. So what caused it to blow up? So let's say there are two guys at the Shabbos table. So one guy has a PhD in physical engineering and a PhD in chemical engineering, and he gives his opinion. Then somebody else says, no, listen. I studied biology in college. I took AP chemistry in high school, and I took two courses in chemistry in college, and here's my view. My view is different than yours. People say that's ridiculous. Why would somebody who in the field of engineering is a layman think he can have an opinion about something like this? He doesn't know. So in a parallel way, you know, we have to know that's what halacha is like. You know, a rav, who a shul rabbi, gets up there and can paskin a shaila. You know what it means? You know what you have to learn to be able to paskin a shaila? The years of learning. You know, when you learn for smicha and you recognize how hard it is, you know, when a boy gets smicha, when a young man gets smicha, to really be someone who can paskin lots of shailas, you have to know a tremendous, tremendous amount. You recognize how what it means to know something. And so when a person gives a psak like that, you have to recognize, you know, that who are you to start talking about it? It's exactly the same as a person who took one course in biology having an opinion in science different than the doctor. He doesn't know. So it's a serious mistake. It reflects this nakuda. This idea, for many people, this is a hard topic. Recognize that people above you, more knowledgeable than you, more chashiv than you, and if they say differently, you have to listen to what they say, and that's it. There's another reason why it's a bad idea at the Shabbos table to attack the shul rabbi. It's another reason. And that is, it undermines the authority of the shul rabbi in the neighborhood. You know, people are talking about, the rabbi. Let's say you think, this point is mentioned in the Sefer Chafetz Chaim, when he's discussing how bad Lashon Hara is. His Lashon Hara about a shul rabbi is even worse. Why? Because the shul rabbi represents, he's building Torah in the neighborhood. And when you undermine his authority by attacking him, you're undermining his general influence. So therefore, let's say in this case you think maybe he's wrong. Okay, but 98% of the time the rabbi's on the side of Torah. And by you attacking him, you're undermining his authority. That's another reason why it's a mistake. A third reason, it's very bad chinuch for your children. It's very bad chinuch for one's children. Very bad. You know, generally speaking, you send your kids to school, they have teachers, you want your kids to listen to their teachers. Teachers say it's good to learn Torah, it's good to keep the mitzvos, it's good to have good midos. So you want them to listen to their teachers. When you undermine and attack a rav at the Shabbos table, you're training your kids to not trust the authority of Rabbanim so much. You know, kids are very, they're very sharp. If they see you attacking the shul rabbi, they're less likely to listen to what their own rabbis in school say. And most of the time, almost all of the time, you want your kids to listen to the rabbis in school. So most of the time, you want the rabbis in school. That's a third reason why it's a bad idea. So this yisod of Korach, that everyone's the same. So this is part of the problem that people have when they start thinking, oh, I know as much as the shul rabbi in halacha. I cannot go on the shul rabbi. It's a big mistake. I want to just explain a little further the different levels of the mistake it is. And, I know, let's say with my parents, so my parents have always been and are very makpid. I've never heard my parents say something derogatory about the rabbanim in my neighborhood. I can maybe remember on one hand the number of times my father disagreed with something the shul rabbi said, maybe, you know, but always in a respectful way. So we went to school in the neighborhood, and the rabbis of the neighborhood were the rabbanim in the school. And I think that had a big influence on the fact that my brothers and my sister and I, you know, we listened to our rabbanim. And Baruch Hashem, we're on the, you know, the path of serious orthodoxy. So I give my parents a lot of credit that it's very good to train your kids to respect and look up to these rabbanim, their teachers, and the shul rabbi as well. So this is just a bit of an elaboration on this mistake that the Rav describes that Korach made. This is the root of the mistake. Before Korach said, who are you to be the leader? The very fact that you view everyone the same, it's a mistake. It's not true, and it leads to problems. Oh, so that's the Rav's words on Korach. Okay, we'll stop here.
Next we have the Rav on Parshas Pinchas. The Rav starts, the Rambam, in his Haftamah to the Mishnah Torah, brings a list of the Mesorah from Moshe Rabbeinu and down till the Rabbeinu Ravashi, the closing of the Gemara. The Rambam there doesn't just list the names, he goes into different details about the relationship of Rabbi the Talmud, Rabbi the Talmud. Oh. Now, the Rambam there, when he discusses Moshe and Yehoshua, when the Rambam there discusses Yehoshua versus Elazar and Pinchas and the Zakenim, so the Rambam differentiates that Yehoshua somehow had a stronger Mesorah from Moshe Rabbeinu. Oh. So here, the Rambam says as follows. He says, Moshe taught the Torah to Yehoshua and the Zakenim. He says, Torah Sheval Peh. Af apishua nichtava, Torah Sheval Peh, limda Moshe Rabbeinu kula, bebeis dino, l'shivim nizakenim. Ule alazar v'pinchas v'yoshua, shlosh tan kibu mi Moshe. They're the same. V'li Yehoshua, shu talmido shal Moshe Rabbeinu, masar Torah Sheval Peh, v'tzivehu oleho. V'chen Yehoshua, kol yimechai of lamad, Alper, Vizakenim, Rabim, Kibum, Yehoshua, etc., etc. So the Rambam says Moshe taught. The Rambam says Moshe taught the Torah to all of them, but then somehow Yehoshua was special, that he taught him the Torah, Vitzaveu Olav, and he commanded him regarding it. So clearly, the Rambam is trying to emphasize there's a separate angle to the Mesorah. There's a separate aspect to the Mesorah of Moshe to Yehoshua. Somehow, the Rambam sounds like, as far as the content of Torah Sheba'al Peh, Moshe taught it to all of them, all the Shivim Zakenim, and Elazar, Pinchas, and Yehoshua. But somehow, there was something special in what Moshe taught to Yehoshua. What exactly was this additional idea? So the Rav thinks, the Pshat's as follows. The Rav thinks that when it comes to a Mesorah from a Rebbe, so really, you know, on the one hand, there's the Mesorah of the knowledge, the facts, the Torah, the ideas. The Rebbe explains Pshat in the Pasuk, he explains Pshat in the Halacha, he explains Pshat in the Gemara. And the person has a Mesorah. How does his Rebbe explain the ideas? You know, every Rav who has Chidushim on the Gemara, his Talmidim hear the Chidushim. And this becomes their Mesorah, what their Rebbe taught them about the Gemara. However... Oh, there's another idea. There's an idea that you not only teach someone the facts of Torah Sheba'al Peh, the facts of the Mesorah, but you also teach someone about how to live, how to govern, how to lead, how to deal with issues, hitna haguto ha'ishit, the way the person acts. How do you respond to different situations? You know, there's a phrase called the fifth chelk in Shulchan Aruch, that aside from the halachos, you have to know what to emphasize when, and how to say things to people, and how to deal with people. Oh. And the Rav says, this is what Moshe Dafka sent over to Yehoshua. That the way Moshe led, the way Moshe governed the people, how he acted with the people. This was the additional element. Beyond the knowledge of the facts, of the body of knowledge of Torah Sheba'al Peh, but it's the way to act, the way to govern, the way to lead that Moshe taught Yehoshua. Oh, and the Rav thinks this might be hinted at already. This is already a little bit out there of Chadrush, but there's a famous question which is discussed already. When Hashem tells Moshe to choose Yehoshua, Hashem says to Moshe in Perek Kav Zayin, Pasuk Yuches, V'samachta es yadcha olav. And lean your hand, singular, on his head. Oh. Later in Pasuk Kav Gimel, the Torah writes, V'yismech es yadav olav. Moshe put his hands on Yehoshua, the plural. Why the difference? Rashi there already says, Ba'ayin yafe, yoser v'yoser mashin itztava. HaKadosh Baruch Hu amalo v'samachta es yadcha. V'uaseh v'shtei yadav. Pasuk k'kli malei v'gadu sh'melohu chachmaso b'ayin yafe. Rashi says, Moshe gave generously to Yehoshua in a sense. Hashem said, one hand Moshe did too. Oh, and he made Yehoshua like a vessel that was overflowing. He filled him up with chachmaso, his wisdom, in a very generous way. Now this is a very difficult idea. What does that mean? Hashem commanded X and Moshe gave more? So the rough things, here's the pshat. Hashem's command was regarding the knowledge of Torah. Kol hadinim kol halachos. But then Moshe added on. And Moshe said, this is my Talmud. This is the Talmud who was from the Ohel. He was always there in the Ohel. He did shimush by me. He was watching me constantly, not just learning the facts, but always watching how I govern, how I decide. I'm also passing on with my second hand, the Rav says, sod ishiyuto, his personality, how he deals with people. And the pshat is, this can only come with shimush. Only Yehoshua could get this. You see, a Rebbe can't pass along in words and in a book how to deal. How come in this case you reacted strongly? In this case you reacted softly. This person needed chizuk. This person needed musa. That you can't learn from a book. You have to watch a person in action and over the course of years see, oh, in this type of scenario the Rebbe reacts this way. In this type which is nuanced, which is different. In this case, which has a nuanced difference, the Rebbe acts this way. In this case, has a slightly different nuance, he acts this way, etc., etc. And that's what Moshe is doing. And Moshe says, he's passing on to Yehoshua this derech of guidance. Oh, Yehoshua, you also have that. And Moshe was saying, before he dies, Yehoshua, you have this koach. You've done the shimush. It could be Moshe, Taka, put it into words now. In other words, once you've done shimush for decades by a Rav, then it is possible for the Rav to then say, oh, now that you've done the shimush for so many years, I can explain to you how I decide and where I decide, and you see how what my thinking is. So either one could say that Stam, al derech hadrush, the Torah saying that Moshe told Yehoshua, you should know you also have this, and I'm also passing along this derech of guidance. Or maybe Moshe Taka told Yehoshua things. And what's the pshat? You can't stop tell someone something, how to lead, until they've seen in action your derech of guidance, your derech of leading. So this might be a beautiful pshat in Rashi, which is really a pshat in the Chumash, and also a beautiful pshat in the Hakdama of the Rambam. The Rambam sounds like that regarding the content of Torah Sheba'al Peh, how Moshe taught it all to everyone. The Shivim Sekenim, Elazar Pinchas, and Yehoshua. So what's the additional sentence that Moshe singled out Yehoshua, Talmido? The answer is he was his Talmido, his special Talmud, also not just in the facts of learning, but in the Hanhoga of guidance. And that might be the Yisod of Yehoshua. Oh, and the Rav says this Taka might be the Pshat in the Chumash, in the Tzukim, Parshas Kitisa. So maybe as follows. We know that Hashem taught Moshe and Har Sinai everything. Kol HaTorah Kula, from A to Z. Kol HaPirtei Dini B'Halachos. Then in Kitisa, in the middle of the Parsha, Moshe asks Hashem, in Perek Lamed Gimel, Moshe, in Pasuk, Perek Lamed Gimel, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Show me your ways. Oh. And Hashem answers basically no. Etc. What's the pshat? Like Yoshua. And the mega yomodze me atzma ideshi musha. Or that Hashem was saying, Moshe, that's impossible. The drachim, if how I govern the world, the only way you can learn about the drachim is from shimush. It's impossible just to teach it in a book form. Just like it's impossible to learn it from a Rebbe in a book that it has to. So Hashem was saying to Moshe, that you can't, because it's impossible to do shimush by Hashem for somebody. It's impossible. That's impossible. So that's what the pshat that Hashem answered no to Moshe. That this type of learning the Hanhaga, that's what it's drachecha. The knowledge, Hashem gave Moshe the knowledge, but the Hanhaga, Hashem said no. Because the only way you can get the Hanhaga is through constant shimush like Yoshua was Meshamesh Moshe Rabbeinu. Oh. And this Taka Rav Shechter here quotes, the Rav said at the time, you know, not everyone was Mekabel his Derech. You know, this is a difficulty. Whenever you hear the Rav quoted, you have to just know that the way the system worked in YU was not everyone who was in the Rav Shir was such a great Talmud Chacham. That was sort of the Shir you went to when you got to a certain level. You went up to the next Shir. A certain age, a certain year. So the Rav had many Talmidim who weren't at such a high level, who really understood where he was coming from. And I mean, let alone his drachim of how he decided things, but also even the facts. So Rav Shech said, the Rav mentioned this when he gave this speech, that, you know, that he mentioned about himself, that he has many Talmidim, but not everyone was Mekabel in exactly the same way. So you have to always keep that in mind when you hear things quoted in the name of Rav Soloveitchik, to try to get to, from sources that have sort of the most authentic Masorah, the most authentic Masorah of where the Rav was coming from. Okay, and that's as an aside. That's the Rav on Parshas Pinchas. This might be a pshat that the Rav connects this pshat in the Rambam in the Hakdama to Mishnah Torah to maybe this Maimer Chazal which Rashi quotes in Parshas Pinchas. Yado, one yad versus yadav two. Okay, we'll stop here. In Parshas Dvarim, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Yud Beis, so Moshe here is giving Musar to Yisrael for all the mistakes they made in the Midbar and the Tzaras, the difficulties that they brought upon themselves, really. So Moshe says, Echoi so levadi tarchemus umasachem v'riplem. How am I able to carry the burden of all of your troubles and all of your burdens and all of your fights by myself? Oh, so here Moshe is describing when the idea that Yisro had to have a base and have more judges that it shouldn't be alone on Moshe. Oh, but Moshe here uses the language of Eicha, Eicha is Salavadi. And Moshe here is pointing out that the Rashi quotes here a lot of negative things. B'nai Yisrael were tarchanim, they were troublesome, and they were masachem, their burden, there were those who were apikarsis, apikarsin, Rashi says, how you apikarsin, hik the Moshe Lotzes, Amru, Ma Rabban Aram Lotzes, Shemein or Shafui, Betoch Beito, Icha Lotzes, Amru, Ma Rabban Aram Shol Lotzes. Oh, he's Yoshev Yoetz Alechem Eitzos, Vachoshev Alechem Machshavos. In other words, Moshe couldn't win. If he came out, if he left his house early, they'd say, oh, he has Saras at home. Rashi says, if he left his house late, they said, oh, he's late because he's planning things against you. Now, again, this is very negative. So, there's a custom. We know that Parshas Tevarim falls out the Shabbos before Tisha B'Av. And, of course, on Tisha B'Av we read Eicha. So, the idea of Eicha, how could it be? Eicha Yeshva Badot. Also in the Haftorah we read Eicha. Eicha Yisrael Zonor Kiyane Mono. Oh, how could it be that the ear of Yerushalayim became like a Zonor? Eicha. Oh, so this connection of this pasuk of the word Eicha here, which is a negative pasuk, Moshe mentioning the Saras of Am Yisrael. and the Eicha of the Haftorah and the Eicha of Tisha of Megillus Eicha. So that's why there's a minhag to read this pasuk in the language of Eicha, to recognize that the pasuk shot is that all of the tzaras of Am Yisrael are related, that they're caused by chatayim. So when Moshe is describing the mistakes Am Yisrael made in the Midbar, that's a similar idea to the mistakes which led to Churban Habayis. So the idea of Eicha, how could it be? Whoa, how could it be? That idea of Eicha, the link, the connection between the Chataim in the Midbar and the Chataim which led to the Churban. So that's why that pasuk of Eicha is read in the Lashon, in the tune of Megillas Eicha, in a somber tune. Okay. Now, so that's the standard. So the Rav here points out something very striking. It's based on a medrash. It's based on a medrash in Precious Rabbah in Parsha Yutes, that we, you know, the letters Eicha, Aleph, Yud, Kaf, He, those are the same letters as Ayeka. Ayeka. When Adam sinned and Hashem was going in the Gan, the Torah describes, Mitalech B'tocha Gan, and Hashem says to Adam, Ayeka, where are you? So the Rav points out, based on the Medrash, this is a beautiful idea. The Rav points out, based on the Medrash, that the letters of Eicha, this is the word which represents the tzaras of Am Yisrael and the difficulties of Am Yisrael. That's Eicha in the Chumash. That's Eicha in Yeshaya. That's Eicha in Gilas Eicha. The letters of Eicha are the same letters as Ayeka, based on the Medrash. Oh. So the Rav says as follows. He thinks there's a connection between Eicha and Ayeka. If Hashem calls out Ayeka and you don't respond with full tshuva, so that leads to Eicha. There's a connection of Ayeka. Ayeka is the word used when a person does a chait. When Adam does a chait, then there's Ayeka. And when Hashem says Ayeka and a person doesn't do full tshuva, eventually it leads to Eicha. So I just want to explain this idea, the way I understand it, a little more based on a similar, very similar idea I heard from Rav Aaron Soloveitchik Zatzal. And that's as follows. No, this word Ayeka that Hashem said to Adam, obviously it's a strange word that Mepharshim discussed, that Hashem knew where Adam was. What does it mean, where are you? What does it mean, Ayeka, where are you? So the Mepharshim say, and Rav Aaron developed this theme, Ayeka doesn't mean where are you physically. Hashem said to Ayeka, Adam, Ayeka, where are you holding? Adam, wake up. Don't you realize you've lost your way? Ayeka, you've lost your way. Where are you holding? Adam, wake up. Ayeka, where are you? What direction are you going in? Adam was the first person to sin, and this was Hashem's response. When a person sins, Hashem calls out Ayeka. Rav Aaron explained beautifully, when a person does a chait, it affects their inner equilibrium. Inside, a person's neshama and guf get along very well. When a person does a chait, it throws things off. And there's a little inner voice, Rav Aaron said. Rav Aaron was speaking very powerfully. There's a little inner voice that's whispering, Ayeka, where are you? Wake up, come back. And in other words, Adam's chait is like the paradigm of all future chataim. Just like when Adam sinned, Hashem said Ayeka, so too when we sin, when a person sins, Hashem whispers Ayeka. You don't hear it as a nevuah. But the whisper is there. Oh, so that's what happens. A person sins, and Hashem calls out Ayeka, where are you? Wake up, you've lost your way. Come back and do tshuva. So the Rav here is saying, beautiful, a deep idea. How come the letters of Ayeka are the same as the letters of Eicha? Because Ayeka is what happens when a person sins. And Hashem says Ayeka. And that's your choice. When Hashem calls out Ayeka, that's your opportunity. Do tshuva. Do full tshuva. But if you don't do full tshuva, Ayeka turns to Eicha. It's the same letters. It's your choice. It's the same letters. Chait has the potential to lead to Chorban. A person does a chait, Hashem in a sense does us a favor. And he calls out, Ayeka, where are you? Wake up. Just like Hashem called out to Adam. And our challenge is to respond, and to respond how? With full tshuva. But if not that, then Ayeka leads to Eicha. This is the idea that the letters of Eicha, this negative, difficult word, this somber word, Eicha, the letters of Eicha are the same as Ayeka, and the Medrash in Brachos Rabbah, Parsha Yotes, links the Ayeka to the Eicha. Mamish, a beautiful idea. I just wanted to read the Medrash here. It's Medrash, Brachos Rabbah, Parsha Yotes, Medrash Yud Ches. The Medrash makes an explicit connection between the Ayeka in Brachos and the Eicha over here and the Eicha in Tisha B'Av. It says, Ma Adam Harisha Nichnasti B'Tocha Neden, V'tzivisi V'Avar Alitzivuyi, V'Danti Oso V'Shulchan V'Gerishin, V'Konanti Olav Aleph Yud Kafhe. Ayeka or Eicha, Ayeka. Hashem says, Adam, I gave him Gan Eden, I gave him mitzvos, he violated the mitzvos, I punished him by sending him away, and then I said, and I lamented, Ayeka. So too, the Medrash continues, Af Banav, also his children, Bnei Yisrael. Hichnasti Marit Yisrael, Tzivisim, Arvalat Tzivuya, Idati Yosan B'shukhan V'gerishin. I brought them into Eretz Yisrael, I gave them commandments, they violated the commandments, and in the end, Konanti Elohim Eicha. Eicha Yashba, the Pasuk of Eicha. So you see this connection. So the Rav explained beautifully. The Rav explained beautifully this connection. That when you hear the first Ayeka, you better respond, or that leads to an Eicha. The Rav said also, there's an earlier Medrash, in Medrash Hezvah. It says, Hashem was going in the Gan with Ruach Hayom. What does Ruach Hayom mean? In what direction was Hashem going in when he said Ayeka? So there's a Machlokes, was Hashem on the east or on the west? One opinion is Ruach Mizrachis, and one says Ruach Maravis. So the Rav says, Al Derech Hajrush, a beautiful idea. Was the sun rising or was the sun setting? Was the sun rising or was the sun setting? The sunrise, a symbol of things are good. Life is good, without tsaros. And then a person does a sin. Oh, so that's one message. Ayeka, Adam. Life was good. You had everything you needed. And you did a sin. Ayeka, wake up, do tshuva. And the Medrash is saying, but if you don't listen to Ayeka when life is good, and you've done a sin, then eventually there'll be an Ayeka when life is difficult. The sun is setting, and there are tsaros in the world. That's what the Rav says here. The sun is setting, and there's b'chol tifka b'alayla. The Rav said, when you hear Ayeka, when life is good, a person does a chait when life is good, Ayeka, wake up! And if you don't, then lo aleinu, if you don't listen to Ayeka when life is good, then eventually you'll hear an Ayeka when the sun is setting, when there's darkness, when there's difficulty, when there's tsaros. Those might be the two pshatim. It might be the two pshatim in the Medrash, complement each other, supplement each other. There's an Ayeka in the morning and Ayeka at night. If you listen to one in the morning, then you won't have to hear the one at night. And that might be the Medrash. So it could be the Medrash saying both are true. There are two aspects to the Ayeka. Okay, that's Al Derech HaJewish. This is the Rav's beautiful idea. The connection, the deep connection based of the letters of Ayeka by Adam and the letters of Eicha by Moshe, Yeshaya, and Megillas Eicha. Oh. Okay, we'll stop here. During the Shirim of Parshas Bo Eschanan, so I quoted a shir that I heard from Rabbi Eliyahu Soloveitchik. That's the son of Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik. Rabbi Eliyahu Soloveitchik. So he discussed the idea of the aspect of Mesorah in Limud Torah, that when you're teaching Torah, you're not just teaching Torah, you're teaching the Mesorah Am Yisrael, the Emunah Bashem, through the Limud Torah. And he quoted the Ramban at the end of the Sefer Mitzvos that I discussed during the Shirin. So Rav Soloveitchik himself has a parallel idea, which I think blends in very well. So the Pasuk says, V'odatam li'vanecha b'livnei v'necha. In Perek Dalet Pasuk Tes, you shall teach your sons and your grandsons. Your son and your grandsons. Oh, so the Gemara Kedushin says, Amar Rav Shulman Levi, Kol hamalamed es ben beno Torah, Ma'al avakasuf ki'ilu kibla me'ar sinai. If you teach your grandson Torah, Then it's as if there was Kabbalah from Har Sinai. Why? What's the Gemara's limud? Because Pasuk Tes says, V'otatam levanecha b'livnei venecha. Pasuk Yud says, Yom asher marata lifnei Hashem okecha b'choreiv. Oh, the day that you were at Har Sinai. So the Gemara says, ah, so you see that teaching your grandson is linked up with Har Sinai. Oh, so kamalamed es ben min otor kibo me Har Sinai. Beautiful. So what's the pshat? So the Rav says, one pshat is exactly this idea. That regarding the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, when you're able to teach your grandson Torah, that shows the hemsheikh of the Masorah. The Masorah is going to survive. See, a person teaches a son Torah, and you're nervous. You know, Baruch Hashem, my son's learning, but you know, what about the continuation? Until the son's teaching his son, you don't have that confidence of the hemsheikh of the Masorah. Oh, only when you see, no, I can even learn with my grandchildren. Ah, my grandchildren are on the right derech. So then I see that I've done a good job with my own kids in keeping them in the Masorah. Oh, so that's what this beautiful idea, that's what this pasuk is emphasizing. That's what this limud is saying. That when you teach the ben beno, then you have the idea of Masorah. As if you're Makal from Har Sinai, that's the sweetness. That's the special bracha of Masorah. Oh, this reminds me of my oldest nephew's bar mitzvah. So I was in this, I live in Israel, but I went to the States for the bar mitzvah. And my mother spoke, there was the celebration, Motzei Shabbos. My mother spoke and my mother said that this bar mitzvah validates my life. That's what she said. It validates my life. And she mentioned Masorah. She said, you know, she raised her kids and, you know, she hoped she did a good job. But now that she has a grandson, he made a siyum at his bar mitzvah, and he's such a fine boy. Oh, so then you see, oh, when the grandson's on the right derech, then already you know, Baruch Hashem, you're doing pretty well. Oh, so what my mother said at the bar mitzvah, mamish, is exactly what the Rav is saying here. At the end of Mipnini Harav, quoted by Rav Shechter. Mamish, the same idea. That's the pshat of the Maimar Chazal. Kamamad is ben beno Torah ki'ilu kibo mehar Sinai. And then the Rav says here, a very deep idea. It's a great answer to a strong kasha. If you open up the Rambam, Hilchos Talmud Torah, you find something very interesting. The Rambam says, he starts in Halacha Aleph, Aval Katon Aviv Chayav Lelamdo Torah. There is a chiyu to teach your son's Torah. Fine. Halacha Beis, Kishem Shechayav Adam Lelamed Es Beno, Kachu Chayav Lelamed Es... Sorry, we'll read it again. Kishem Shechayav Adam Lelamed Es Beno, Kachu Chayav Lelamed Es Ben Beno, etc. Shnemar Bodatum Benechu Benei Benechu. Oh, just like you have to teach your son, you also teach your grandson. Oh, that's Halacha Beis. Then Halacha Gimel, Mi Shelo Limdo Aviv, Chayav Olamed Es Atzmo, Kishe Yakir, Shnemar B'limatam Osam, Ushmartam Las Osam. Only in Halacha Gimel does the Rambam mention a person who's chiyuv to learn for himself. It's very striking. The Rambam begins Hilchos Talmud Torah focusing on teaching your son, teaching your grandson, and then if your father didn't teach you, oh, then teach yourself. Oh, what's pshat in the Rambam? So there are different approaches to pshat in the Rambam. The Rav here says as follows. The Rav wants to say that it could be the Rambam here is saying this exactly this idea that we've been developing. The Rambam here is saying that the ikur of the mitzvah of learning is lahavir hamasorah. The ikur, the whole essence of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is masorah. Lima Torah is really an aspect of the mitzvah of the even more fundamental mitzvah of masorah. So how does the Rambam describe Lima Torah? As Masorah, teach your son. If for some reason the Masorah didn't click, oh, then you have to teach yourself. Let's read it inside. The Rambam says, "Tamashu mukhiyav lilmodas lilm." Oh, so I'm sorry. So just to say it more sharply, so my chiyuv to learn the essence of my chiyuv to learn is so that I'll be able to teach others and pass along the Masorah. So first the Rambam says Masorah, then he says, oh, then teach yourself. Because you have to know your chiyuv to learn is part of your chiyuv to pass along. Mashu m'chuyuv l'ilmod, hura kidei la'afsher lo l'lamid l'acherim. Shezeu ikur shohach mitzvah, l'haver ha-masorah l'acherim. Oh, to pass along the Masorah to others. So the Rambam begins Hilchos Talmud Torah with Masorah. And then if the Masorah, then you teach yourself. I.e., when you learn, you should know your learning should be with the goal, with the intention of Masorah. Either teaching your children, your grandchildren, or the Rambam mentions in Hilchos Talmud Torah, teaching others as well. Oh. So the essence of the mitzvah, the ikar of the mitzvah is l'haver masorah l'acherim. So that idea that the essence of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is masorah is linked, fits in well with this Maamar Chazal that links up being melamed your grandson with kibla mehar Sinai. That the idea of lima Torah is to link up back to Har Sinai. That's the essence. That's the essence of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Oh, these are just some other ideas from the Rav on these parashios, at the end of the Sefer Mipnine HaRav. Oh, okay, we'll stop here.